Today I want to share from Acts 4. And Acts 4, this part especially is about the apostle prayers. Last week we have heard of the apostle teachings. Today we want to see how they prayed, the apostles, how they prayed, so that we can learn something from them. And of course, the teaching of the disciples was squaring on the fact that God has His book, and God has declared that He will save the world. He will save His people through Jesus Christ. And the apostles themselves, that was the message they brought to the people. They said to them, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the anointed Son of God, God has sent Him into this world, and you have killed Him. And you, but that was because of the will of God. God has decided this in the first place. By putting your faith in His work, you will be saved. That was their message, and they confronted them, and they were telling them, you have killed Him. They were bold, and they were confronting people, pressing them to repent of their sins. They were you were guilty of that. They were holding them accountable to their sin, because they were acting in sins. And you know what happened after that, because the disciples themselves, they faced a lot of challenges. They were told to stop, not to preach the word of God, and that is the context of the prayers that they had today. We know that we do pray. We do pray for different needs. There are contexts for our prayers. Sometimes we pray together when we are eating. We give thanks to God. It's a prayer of thanks. Or they say, we let us say grace. Sometimes someone need job. We pray to God for God to give the person a job, person to be healed. There are always contexts to the prayers. And I just don't want to apply these prayers of the disciples to every situation. It was for a certain situation, was an occasion of threat. They were threatened. They were told not to speak in the name the name of Jesus. And that was the reason they prayed. So they were brought before the Sanhedrin because they have healed this crippled man, the man who was crippled for 40 years. And so they healed this man. They said they healed this man in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. So that was what happened. So after that happened, because the people were familiar with this man. First of all, this man was always being brought, as I said, with the children. He was brought every day before the temple, and he was. They know him, and when this man was healed, he went into the temple. What was the most striking thing to the temple leaders? Because this man, he was sitting always outside there every day, begging, and he's crippled. And now the disciples have healed him in the name of Jesus Christ, the very name that they opposed. The very name that really don't like. Let me say this. Some people, they take comfort in seeing other people really struggling or crushed. And I think that is why these people would not want this man to be helped. Even the disciples, they say it, an act of kindness. God is kind, and God wants to heal His own people. And so that was the reason, because the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees, they don't believe in miracles, even they don't believe in the resurrection. So they didn't like the fact this man was healed. And as a result, They were fearing that the name of Jesus may spread. They may lose their livelihood and they may face further challenges. So what they did, they seized the disciples and they brought them into their midst, and then it was too late in the day, so they took them into jail. They were not planning to do that, but they took them to jail. And then after that, after they released them in the morning, they conferred together, and then they decided to tell them that to stop speaking or spreading any further the name of Jesus among the people. So they said, we warn you. They warned them. And so they told them to go. And then they released them. And now I want to come to what happened after they were released. After they were released, in verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So as they went back, and now they went back to their people, to their fellowship. They went back to their community. They went back to the church. They went back to those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ. As they went back, they share all that was said to them, and they now want to respond to these threats in prayer. And this is a prayer I want to bring to you today so that we can model this. We can learn from this. After all, the disciples are our teachers. They were taught, and then they teach us through the scriptures. And so at the outset, before they could bring to God their need, even though it was urgent, they were threatened, they were beaten, they were terrified. Though their need was urgent, they had to make sure that their hearts, minds, and soul is filled with the truth of divine sovereignty. This is what they said when they started to pray. They said when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And this is the word they said, sovereign Lord. These are people who were facing a challenge to stop what they were commanded to do. They knew their mission in this world. And when you know your mission in this world, your praise will be so different. Your prayer will be marked with this very mission that you have. This is all that you have. One day I was listening to Reverend Choliat preaching from this pulpit, and he said, I think he was making a contrast he was making. He was saying, certain people, when they love something, they talk a lot about it. And I think he was referring to himself as an African. He said, when we love something, we talk a lot about it. You see, so the disciples, the only thing they love to do, they talk a lot about it. And that is the very thing they were called to love and the very thing they were called to do. Are we any different? If you are truly a Christian today, what is your mission in this world? So what is your mission in this world? Your mission in this world. So these people, they said, the sovereign Lord. And then the God they appeal to now is sovereign. And what does that mean? We hear a lot about sovereignty of God. What does that mean? Well, sovereignty, the God to whom they pray is sovereign. He has the power that cannot be challenged. And so he is the one with power that is unchallengeable, a power that no one can stand before. So that is the meaning of sovereignty. He's the true ruler. He's a ruler with this power that no one can challenge, no one can stop against. And this is something the Sanhedrin, the council of the temple were trying to do. They are trying to stand on the way of God. And now these disciples, as they pray, they appeal to this God. They know this is their God. He's the ultimate authority. He's the God who is in charge. And that is why they couldn't help to stop even though they were warned not to speak. And now they proceed to say, this God, this sovereign God, is also the creator. This is what they said. You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Not everything in it, not in the sea, but everything in heaven and in earth and on and also in the sea, the Milky Way, the stars, you see. On the ground, you've got like oils, minerals, and everything underneath. And also, you've got the flowers, and you've got the trees, and got everything. So they were saying, this is our God. You are the creator. Our God is the creator. He is the one who made heavens, earth, sea, and all that in them. Verse 24. This is their God. They fill their mind with this truth. They fill their mind with this conviction. They are people with conviction. And this is what will make their prayer so powerful. This is what will make their prayer really legitimate to this God. And they say, this, you are God. First, this is what they are doing. They just didn't jump to bring their prayer request. And after all, this is before they could even bring their prayer request. They just want to establish this truth first. They want to fill their mind and their heart. They want to rejoice in this, in forgetting about all the challenges they are facing. I think you and I today, if we are faced with challenges, I think we tend to just to move quickly to resolve this problem. And you will be shocked how they prayed. You will be shocked, truly. If you are not shocked and blown away by the attitude of the disciples, you will never be blown away in your life. Because this is the ways of God, isn't it? These are not our ways. This is what God is revealing to us. This is what He is calling us to embrace and to believe and to take hold of as His people. And then to face our troubles with this attitude. Because after all, Jesus said, in this world we will have troubles. In this world we will have problems. As you go and evangelize, because they say, like, we have to equip the church to do mission, isn't it? Okay, we are equipping ourselves. To evangelize, you need to be filled with this idea. To evangelize, you need to be filled with this truth. You need to go confident of the God who you are pointing people to. And this is the disciple. This is what they are doing here. You are the creator. And they didn't stop there. There's this God, this sovereign God, this creator God. The God of all creations is also a God of revelation. Is God who spoke to the prophets in the past. Is a God who revealed His will to the prophets. He revealed His will to His people. That is what He is going to do in the future. This is what He is going to do in the future. And we will be told just like shortly what the thing that He has revealed in the past to the prophets. And now we see that Psalm 2 is quoted, isn't it? Psalm 2 is quoted. It's God of revelation who spoke through the mouth of His servant David. Quoting Psalm 2. God already revealed how the world will oppose His anointed Son, the Messiah. So Jesus knew that. God knew this. And the disciples, they picked it up from the gospel. They said, and this is what they say, why do the nation rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Even they quoted the Psalm 2 and they put it here right before us. And now in verse 27 tells us Herod and Pontius Pilate, they were the leaders, they were the rulers, they were the people fulfilling what God has decided in advance. God is an amazing God. He can take the messiest babies, the ruthless people ever lived, and then to use them to fulfill even his purposes. He raised up after all Cyrus, and He used him to punish His own people, and all only to be punished later. So now this is what the disciples are saying. This God, the Creator God. It's the God of revelation. And he has revealed this wonderful truth to us. And we are not ashamed to face all these troubles and this opposition. And now we are confident that this is in the plans of God. This is our God. And we are not shrinking before your intimidation and before your opposition. And so they didn't jump quickly to prayer, to bring their prayers. But in verse 24 and in verse 25 and 26, they tell us exactly what God has decided, and even naming these rulers and Pontius Pilate, they were rulers, and even the people, referring to the people of Israel. Also, they conspired, and then they made an alliance with the Gentiles. And in other passages, it said Gentiles and Romans empires and those people. So the disciples, they said, this is God has done. This is what God has done. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. So they were not really people out of blue. They didn't just do what they like. Even when they thought they were doing their will, actually they were fulfilling the will of God. This is what is the disciples are saying. He's not only the God of creation and revelation, also he is a God who controls history. You see, even these men, they did only exactly what God wants them to do. And God is a God of the history. He knows when things happen, and he knows these things. You see, he's God of history. Is God who controls everything. So even the things that will happen to us in 10 years to come, or 20 years to come, he knows them all. And even the people, he knows them. People he is going to use to for our blessings. God knows these ones. And what should this help you today in terms of application? If you are going to apply this text to your life today, you should be at rest. That my God knows everything. That my God controls the history. My God who has created all these things is powerful, because that is what Psalm 121 says, that should I look up to the mountains where my help comes from? No, my help comes from the Lord, not from the tangible things, the thing that we see and we touch, and the governments and the authorities that we see. No, our help comes from the Lord. And this is exactly what is happening here. The disciples saying, look, we appeal to a God we know. And this is what is happening. Perhaps you are waiting eagerly to see how they pray. What are their prayer requests, isn't it? Well, you can't get into the prayer request if you didn't get the first part right. You need to get the first part right. And so from now onwards, all that you need to do, you need to establish this truth in your mind. When you come to God, you need to praise God. He uses his enemies. Every person mentioned in verse 27, Pilate, Pontius Pilate, Herod, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, in this city, in Jerusalem, the city of peace, they conspire against your holy servant, Jesus Christ. So here, he is God who can use even his enemy. He used them to do what his power and will had decided beforehand should happen. After they declare this, only now they can bring their petition to God. Only now. Only now they can bring their petition to God. And their petition to God is like, not to kill these people or not to remove them, oh God, and see how bad they are. This is not what they said. You know, in Sudan, in South Sudan, they have a president who has, he triggered war or maybe somehow responsible, and people are in refugee camps. You know the refugee camps. Michael and Kato went to that. Alex Christian, Sister Teresa saw the suffering of the people over there. And so these things happening, and people are praying, hoping that this person is removed from the power, isn't it? For since 2013, and God is not removing him. Perhaps they are praying wrongly. They are not following what really we have here in the text. And also, even for us today, we need to learn this. So the disciples didn't pray that these people should be removed or should be punished. That was not their prayer. That was not their prayer. And that was not the will of God for them. So what is their prayer exactly? What is their prayer? Well, I got their prayers in 3 points to share with you today. He said this. He said, God, oh God, our Father, consider, bear them in your mind. consider, see all that they are doing. Verse 29. Now, Lord, and I should say 29a. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Consider their threats. Just have a look. Have a look of what they are doing. Just have a look. Just see how they are trying to stop us from doing the very thing our Master and our Lord has commanded us to do. And after all, he has equipped us to do this. What was the things that they have received? They were told to wait in Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high, so that they can go on with boldness, so that they can go on unstoppable, so that they can go with no fear and courage and with clarity to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim Jesus Christ. So they didn't pray that God to judge them, just to take note of them, not to kill them, so that they might live in peace. No. This explains their second request, because moving from just consider now, this is what they are saying. Then in their second point, the first thing they say, God, please take note of this. See the situation. We present to you the whole situation. This is the second request, is enable us to speak with boldness. We want to continue being bold, not to change the situation, but for us to be changed. Because after all, our mission is to change the world, isn't it? Our mission is to change the world. Not to judge the world, and not to take people to jail, and to pay evil for evil. To say, oh, you hate Jesus, and so now you are in trouble. And this boldness is not just they go and then just they eyeball people and they just point fingers to the people to show how bold they are and speaking a language that is disrespectful just because you want to champion the truth. No, that is not the thing. This is the boldness that will enable the people to come to God. This is the boldness that will enable them to preach with no fear. This is the boldness that will enable them to spread the good news. This is the boldness they need to cast out any fear that they may go on to finish the call the Lord God has laid on their lives. Energize us. I think the Hebrew word would be like dunamite, isn't it? Like because we don't have a strength of our own to take the gospel and to share this divine power of God with other people to come to salvation. You have seen how the Gentiles, leaders, the Herods and the rulers, Pontius Pilate and others, so what they did. They had the power, but they had only a power to lock them up in jail. But they don't have power to stop them from speaking. They can't. So the disciples here, they said, enable your servant. Enable your servants. They call themselves slaves of God, servant of God. How are you going to apply this? So when you have this ability, what to do with is to speak. You call yourself a servant of God. So to be given this strength to speak the word of God with great boldness. So they were made bold, and now they want even to be bold the more. They want this boldness not to stop, and in the face of the threat they already face. This is not just like an imagined threat, isn't it? It's a real threat. How many threats you have in your life today? How many, if I ask you, what are the obstacles you face today as a Christian to live as a Christian, to share the message of God? I think all of us, we are saturated with this concept that it is hard, isn't it? You hear it every day. It is hard to share the gospel. It is hard to call people to faith. It's getting harder and harder, they say. Well, it was hard for the apostles, for the disciples. It was hard. And all that they needed to do is to be made bold the more, to be anointed more and more, so that they can rise to the occasion and so that they can continue to confront the world. If the world today is getting worse and worse, it's not because it has to go better. No, it's because the followers of Christ, they are not praying for God to enable them to be bold and to be clear about their mission in this world. The disciples, certainly they were clear about their mission. And perhaps today the challenge for us is to have a different mindset and to pray to God. After all, the disciples didn't rely on their strength and their ability. They knew that they didn't have it. So they asked for. Can we ask for strength? Can we ask for boldness? Can we pray for anointing? We ourselves, even today, to be able to stand and to face the challenges and to not to shrink in the face of opposition. Certainly, if you don't feel the opposition, I feel the opposition. I want to resign every day from the things I'm doing. Just every day. It's just so crushing. So you will have your family wipe out and something to discourage you. And so you yourself to have pains and struggles and issues arise. But when you read a text like this, what do? You don't pray that your enemies are killed. Or whatever happened to them, something bad happened to them. Or I shouldn't say your enemies, because after all, we don't fight people, isn't it? We fight spiritual forces. So it's to pray for grace, to pray for boldness, to pray for courage and perseverance, so that we can finish the work after all God has called us to do. Disciples, they didn't raise up themselves. So they were clear about that. They are people who were clear about their mission, because they were called to teach and to proclaim the good news. Because that was what happened actually. When people saw them, they were teaching and speaking about the name of Jesus Christ. So that was their task. They were clear about that. Yes. And now they were told not to speak. But they said, we cannot help. If it is, this is what they said. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. Because they were commanded to stop speaking. But they said, judge for yourself. Even yourself, you will see that it's not right, because you are not the ultimate authority. This is the sovereign ruler, and he has commanded us. So your command is nothing. This is civil disobedience. This is the boldness that God requires of his own people. Like, yes, we listen to the instruction of the government and the people around us, even our leaders in the church. But if what all that they ask us to do is contrary to what God has called us to do, we should say no to these authorities, because there are lesser authorities. The ultimate authority is the sovereign Lord God, who is the creator, who is the revealer of all truth, and who is the God of history, who has started things and who will bring all things to an end. And all that we can do is to call for his grace, to call for his enablings and his strength and grace and mercy, that we are able to go on like the disciples themselves, to do all that he has asked us to do. So they were able, all that they won is strength and boldness to defy those situations, to defy. Because this requires, to defy requires a great deal of boldness. And this boldness was going to just cause many people to come to faith. And because that was what happened. After further threat, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened, for the mercy was extended through the name of Jesus Christ. So these people, they want to continue to do that. They want to continue to do the work of God, and so that others may come to God and know his salvation. In answer to a prayer, prayed in unity and faith in the character of God, sovereign Lord, creator, who reveals his will to his people, the God of history. Now, the Bible tells us that as they prayed, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. The place they were praying was shaken, as a sign that their prayers has been answered. You see, if you want to go on to say like, oh, if my prayers is answered, so this building will move, isn't it? After all, we spent a lot of money to do it, isn't it? Well, all that we need to know is the fact that God has answered their prayers. And I think there's this th- theologian by name Chrysostom. Many pastors have trouble to pronounce his name. Yeah, I got his name right. Chrysostom said that this prayer made them more unshaken. You see, the place shook, and the disciple now, this prayer is being answered. That as a sign that their praise is granted. They will go out from this place bold right now. They will go from this place stronger. Where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. They were further filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and now God even granted them that they are even further filled. So let me wrap this up to say to us as a point to apply this text to our lives. So we need to do this. We need to depart from angry spirit. We need to depart from pointing fingers against those who are facing or opposing us. We need to look to God and to have our mind filled with the fact that nothing can happen to us bad or good without his knowledge, without his ordination. If we surrender to him fully, if we acknowledge his power, unchallengeable power, something the Herod and Pontius Pilate and the rulers of the Gentiles and the people of Israel have tried, they will fail. And everything that will man against you, having established this truth, will man to nothing. Nothing will touch you. Nothing will harm you. Have confidence in your God. He's God of your salvation. He's God who sent his son to die for you. He not only to stop in the way to be crushed, but he wants you to finish as long as there is breath in you. He wants you to go on doing his will. He wants to make sure that he enables you with every energy that you need to be able to finish the call of God on your life. Do not turn to the obstacles more than turning to God more. Do not try to work it out yourself, but to come and bring these very need situations. This is what God would want us to do today, to pray specifically for the things that we need to do, knowing our mission, that our mission, if we are truly his followers, that even if you find yourself, you are a mechanic. You are a mechanic to glorify God. So everything you do in this life is to bring glory to God. Whatever you are, whatever your career is. So make it as your effort to pray to God for boldness to be able to share the word of God with you, with the people around you. So this is the boldness that the disciples were crying for. They were praying for. They knew that they will face a lot of troubles. They knew that now, in fact, they are facing these things. Are you facing troubles? Are you find it so difficult even to share the gospel with others? Are you find it so difficult to break through the things that seem to be really a hurdle for you to do the very thing that God would want you to do? Well, I know for myself there are things that everything, I cannot do anything without God's help. And you know that I was overseas in Saudi Arabia. There were things I did I couldn't have done if it was not God. Real. How can you open a conversation with the Muslims with his turbans from upper echelon of his society, who the driver of Uber, and you share the gospel directly with him? And so it's not that I was so bold to say, like, you must hear the Bible, the word of God. It's just like the door was open, being opened to me. Before me, and the strength and the grace and the ability to share that was granted to me. Well, God is not a God of partiality. It's not he doesn't show favoritism. If you all would come to the evening service, I wish you all could come to that. So it's a time we do hear a lot of great things. So God shows no favoritism. So today he can do the same thing for you. The things that he did for the disciples, he can also do for you. Don't you want to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit? Even if you don't want boldness to speak the word of God, don't you want to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life? Guaranteeing that God is pleased with you. after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, so that they will not be shaken. I don't know what the troubles you have, what is standing on the way, but having heard this message today, I pray to God that He will enable you to rise to the situation and to honor God in your heart and to know that He is sovereign. He wouldn't want you to go against the people you think they are causing you trouble. If you do that, there's no answer to your prayers. If your prayers will only be answered as your mind is filled with this truth that this God is the ultimate ruler. He's a sovereign God. And also, He has the power, because no one has made all the things that we have seen, and no one can control the history like He does Himself. He's speaking 1,000 years before the actual time and just naming them by their names, these people, saying that this person is spoken of in the Old Testament is Pontius Pilate. How about that? Our God makes no mistakes. He's God of absolute accuracy. And you can trust Him fully. And you can rejoice in the face of troubles and suffering and troubles and problems. And you will succeed regardless, no matter what the situation may want to present. We have seen this in the context of the prayers of the disciples themselves. Only to have the place marred with the presence of God. And may God come into our midst and to assure us His blessings and His presence and His love for us by granting us these very prayers that we pray, and not in selfishness, prayers that He might take all the glory. Shall we pray?